by Ben Bogart. Papa Mac had me listen to the radio all the time with him. And I got interested in it. There are 13 words that are translated seeing different ways in both the spiritual and physical with the eye or the mind. I've already taught this. I've already taught this, but not in the same way. What I taught was not wrong. But I didn't have enough spiritual growth to understand a lot of this. Now, the bride knows Jesus by seeing him as he is. Many saved never really get to know him. And that's the truth. And, you know, we've all three preached that. And I've preached that. We've done it in different ways, but we've tried to say the same thing. You know why we discovered that? You know who taught us? God. You know what we were supposed to do? Teach it to you. And between the three of us, I think we've learned it, and we've taught it to you. I think we've all three taught you this. Salvation is instant. Paideo is a sanctification process. All three of us agree on that. I've been teaching various aspects of this ever since I came up here. So they learned some of it from me, and after they came up, and then I've learned some from them. That's what preachers are supposed to do. Now, in Revelation 19 through 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his Lamb hath made herself ready. How did she do it? The bride could see him. In this particular word I'm going to use, it describes how she could see him. I got these pictures of Imogene over there looking up there. But I don't have to look at those pictures. I remember exactly how she looked. And when I was going with her, from the first time I ever looked down at her, and she was sitting there and her head was just up above, it was right up on what she called the stirring wheel. And she said, the police. She was Georgian to the core. Listen, when I would be at work and I would be wanting to be up there with her, that came into my mind. I could see her. And as I went with her, I got a better image of her. I got to see what was inside and what was outside. I didn't understand that. But it helped me to understand this. That's why God gave her to me. One of the reasons. I cried all afternoon. And I kept trying to stop them. I couldn't. Because God has been so good to me in so many ways. And I just really never realized that what I thought I understood when I sang, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how wonderful, oh, how marvelous is his love for me. I thought, oh, I knew he loved me. Lord, I knew he loved me. But when he put that 40 years together and I started working up this message, I suddenly think I know pretty close, but I'll never get there, as to how much he loved me and that I only love him because he first loved me. It broke my heart that I had thought I understood all that. But Leonard's right. When you understand the scriptures and you put them all together, your heart burns in you. I've had a burning heart. I understood what Leonard was preaching about, but I never had my heart burn like it did this afternoon. And my heart was circumcised, but it got recircumcised. And I'm a full-blooded Jew now, I think. Now notice what he says. And that's how she made herself ready. She wanted to be attractive to the one she was going to marry. So do I. You say, well, you don't look very attractive. You've got big old moles on your face and everything else, and you're getting all kind of wrinkles. Well, welcome to the club. But the Lord doesn't care how you look outside. He's going to give you a body on the outside. You're going to be prettier than you ever were. But He don't care what you look like now. And once He changes you, you're going to be so grateful. You're going to jump around like a tadpole. In fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Where'd you get your righteousness? What did He tell you to do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He wants you to fight every day. He wants you to call on Him every day. When you're tempted, He wants you to jump right in there and ask Him to call you right then, because if you don't, you'll let it carry it out, and you will have some kind of a little sin there that gives you fleshly pleasure. Been there, done that. Don't want to do it again. I can't live above sin, but I can sure understand that if I'll jump up and start trying right then and there, God will deliver me from it. But after I say all that I've just said, I'm not about to tell you that I can even come close to living above sin. But at least I know some things now that make me love Him more than I ever loved Him before. But I still never can love Him exactly like He loves me. But God's making it where in me, He's doing a whole lot better because I'm getting out of His way. Blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now that call, people have tried to tell me all the time who that is. I don't really care, because they're going to be where they're going to be, and it's going to be the degree of how much they yield to God. And I'd rather be as close to Him as Imogene and I were, even closer, for all those 58 years. I want it for all eternity. You say, well, what about these people? They won't be jealous if I get up there. And I won't be jealous of the people that get up there, because I won't have my old carnal nature. That's a bonus. That's a bonus. I get rid of my carnal nature. Now in John 14, 5 through 7, Thomas saith unto Him, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you better believe that Thomas told all the disciples, because it was right after they had taken the Lord's Supper, and he told them, a new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know you are my disciples. Now he said, if ye had known me, they did not know He was God. Period. So what happened? After Jesus resurrected Himself from the dead, He came back and fulfilled the office of the Holy Spirit, and He's still here fulfilling it. The office. He said, ye should have known my Father also. They got to know Him too. Did you read what they wrote? They came to understand it. Do you know what we've been doing here all these years? We wanted to know. We have the desire. Do you know what Leonard and Kenneth and I are? We're students of the Bible. We're students of the Bible. And God called us to be students of the Bible. And God called us to teach it to you after we learned it ourselves, and as we were learning it ourselves. I sure didn't do a very good job, but I think I can do a lot better job now. Not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Because I don't know exactly how to explain it, but it's not me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul knew it too. So what did he say to Thomas? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Paul followed his example. They all did before they died. That's what we're supposed to do. How are we supposed to do it? Like little children who think they have the greatest father in the world, and they do. He says, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. They've seen him. Now this word see, I couldn't see God as he was the night I was saved. But I could see Jesus. I didn't know he was God. I thought he was the Son of God. He was. But he was pre-incarnate. I was 12 years old. I didn't know what pre-incarnate meant. But God knew I didn't. And that's what God wanted to teach me. And he also wanted to teach me that when I got to heaven, there he'd be, all the fullness of God there is. So isn't God merciful? Isn't God merciful? Think of all the people that ever got saved. They were ignorant too. You can't teach a man what all the names of God mean until you know him. And who in heaven's name led you to look at those names? God. And who in the world told the three of us to look for those names? Well, Leonard's done a better job than Ken and I have. And he asked me, would it be? He said, well, I said, well, you want to do this? He said, well, I'd like to teach about the names of God. I said, boy, have at it. Because he's the best. And I am very thankful for that. But it's not Leonard. He didn't like for me to praise him. I'm not praising you, Leonard. You know I'm praising God. And this is something that has made a lasting, indelible impression on us first, and now on you. And anybody ask you a question about Jesus, you're a whole lot better equipped to give them a full and complete answer. And if they say, well, I never heard of that. Well, they say, well, let me tell you about it. And you got all this stuff. And I did this for you, Cooney. It's smaller print. But I made it where you could put notes on this side and this side. And I thought that'd be great. I noticed Leonard and Kenneth did that. But Kenneth gets up here and says, I'm going to turn to number 24. And then I'm up there trying to get the thing down and then put a note over there. And then he says, now let me tell you. And he said, bless your little heart. And then he throws in another scripture. And I never even have got the first one and wrote it down. So Kenneth, I'm going to give you some fatherly advice.
Slow down.
Okay. We are listening to what you say.
Well, you know, it's going to take about 6 years to do this.
Maybe. Well, that'll be all right. We can run the school for 6 years. But okay. Kenneth, I'm an old man. And I write like my grandmother now. And that you give this stuff so fast, I'm trying to write, and it looks like my grandmother's handwriting. And I have to go home and say, call for an angel to break it down for me. No, I'm not getting on you. I'm just telling you, please do, because we're interested in what you got to say. Now, you others may not feel like that, but I love Kenneth, and I want to listen to what he's got to say. He's got a lot to say. I like, well, Leonard, I started putting this over on the side because I noticed Leonard was. You say, well, have you got any sense? Well, Leonard's got more sense than I have in some things. And I got some sense in other things, more sense than he has. But I saw this and I said, well, and I'm standing over there and I'm copying him down. He goes nice and slow. But sometimes I'm so busy writing down what you said that when you get to the next one, I have to look over at Kenneth, and I know you're not doing this just for me, but I have to look over there, and I ask him, where are you? And I'm hard of hearing, and I know it interrupts you up here. Please slow down a little, because it really helps me.
I can't talk that slow.
And another thing I'm going to quit doing is giving smart answers. No, I'm lying. I won't ever quit that. But I love you, and so, and I want to hear what you got to say. And I mean that in the depths of my soul. He said, oh, where are we? He says, and I'm going to let you, I don't have my watch. You got a watch?
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock.
Hey, holler at me when it's a quarter till.
About 25.
Okay, holler at me. And I'll quit then, because I can start this another time. Women are supposed to be silent in the church. I want to know what church you've been at. Oh, I didn't even see that.
Can you see it right here?
Yeah. You see, I'm getting bad. But anyway, here we go. So slow down a little. Okay, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, he says, obtained a good report. Now, I'm going to use the word see in this, and I'm going to tell you what it is, because I want to let you out of here on time. Because I may eat back there with you, because they all went out to eat, and I may have to take an old cold tater when I get home. So I might go back there and honor you ladies with my presence. Okay. Now, let's look down at the word see. It's opsomai. That's one of the different words. It's in Bullinger. It's 8A. But you can also find it in your concordance. I should have put the Bullinger thing on. I should have put the other name on it, the Strong's. It denotes not the action of seeing, like numbers 5 and 8, which I may not get to, but this, I'll finish this, Lord willing, next time. I won't be here. I'll be here on next Monday and Thursday. But the state of him and the affection of the mind of him, to whose eye or mind of him is presented, to truly command, to know in the mind what one sees with the eye and understands in the mind. You put 2 + 5 on a blackboard and you say, oh, I see. You understand, you see it's 7. But it also means, and understands, that sees with the eye and understands in the mind. How'd you learn that? 2 + 5 = 7. God taught you. Who's your teacher? And what does it mean when it says in our time, God shall teach all men? He teaches you how to see spiritual things. And he lets you understand secular things so you'll understand what he said. 13 words for see. And when Tommy came up here after that first night, I said, praise God. Because I knew he was going to help me, and I knew he was going to help you all. And I love Tommy to death. And I'm just so glad he's coming up here, and I'm so glad John Holbrook's coming up here. I'm glad everybody's preaching it, because I'm learning from all of you. First, when I came over here, I thought, well, sooner or later, I can just take a little time. Oh, I got interested in what y'all were doing. And I said, you don't know as much as you think, buddy. He says, hope for the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, I've never seen heaven, and I've never met Abraham. And I've never seen the city. But you can show me some scripture, and you can show me this, and I can say, oh, I see. And then it's like putting it up on a board and looking at it. And you say, well, yeah, but that I've never seen God. Well, all you got to do is look at his word. He teaches you how to add. And when you add them together and add these things to your salvation, all of a sudden, there's the evidence, and you can present it to people. How do you do it? You tell them about Him. You tell them about the city. You tell them about everything you can think of, as long as they'll listen. And when they think you're crazy, they might... You say, well, they'll go home and think I'm crazy. Well, if they're thinking you're crazy, they know why they think you're crazy. And believe it or not, God's Holy Spirit can use that. He says, the evidence of things not seen. You've had that preached to you so many times, I'm not going to bother you with that. By it the elders obtained a good report. You need a good report at the judgment seat of Christ. Where do you think all these fellows are going to be in heaven? Look at those 11 names. Consider them. Read them. Leonard's preached all the way through it. I've preached all the way through it. And Kenneth's preached all the way through it. And we preached basically the same thing all the way through it. You say, well, once is enough. No, it's not. So I didn't sit back there thinking, well, I've already preached. I didn't sit back there thinking that. I thought, hey, now they're going to get it again. And I usually get things with repetition. I love to hear it. And usually when they're preaching, I learn some things about it that they've studied out of Bible manners and customs and things, and they add something to it. And I appreciate that. You say, well, don't you feel inferior? No, we're all inferior. But God is supreme. And where do you think they got it from? Where did I get it from? And now you're getting it from us. Listen, after 40 years, I feel qualified to tell you about this because it took me 40 years to learn this. And I didn't just learn it on my own. I learned it from preachers we had in revival. I loved it. I learned it from preachers I stayed with. I've got a lot of head knowledge up here, but God had to put it together. And if it came from the Bible, He didn't include the other garbage I picked up. Sometimes I did. But I told you when I was wrong. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I don't care whether you believe the gap theory or not. I don't believe you, whether you believe the EU, PTQ, FOB, or I don't care. As long as you know in your heart and believe in your heart that how it happened is going to be a theory forever until Jesus chooses to reveal it in heaven. And I don't think by that time we'll be really wanting to know. In any case, he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that, and He is the living Word, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Man, that's it. God did it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Period. I've had people that wanted to debate me on this, and I've debated them, and I win, usually. But I don't care whether I win or not. I want them to understand one thing. God did it. And the gap theory has caused more trouble than I could ever imagine. And I told preachers, I won't come and debate it because I'm sick of having to... And I've always said to them, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That settles it. I said, everything I present after this is a theory. And some of them said, well, he's only been here 4,000 years, 5,000 years, all that stuff. Listen, I don't care how long it's been here. God did it. And that's it. That settles it. So I love that. And so I don't mind any disagreement on that at all. He says, we're framed by the Word of God. By faith, Abel unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That's been preached and re-preached. I have never heard any one of the three of us preach a bad sermon on it. By the which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Why was it more excellent? Because it was a blood sacrifice that pictured what he had said in Genesis 3:15, and Abel obeyed him, and Cain did not. And he even said to Cain, Cain, do it again. You know, you can make up for it. But he wouldn't do it. That was Cain's problem. Big problem. By it he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. His offerings that he brought. In my hand no price I bring, Simply to thy cross I cling. That's my offering. He did it one time. He made it. He's still my offering. And it's the complete offering. I've been born again. But testifying his gift, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. He's alive. He's talking in heaven. I hope Imogene's already met him. I'm going to get to meet all these folks. And I don't know, in the conversation, he's going to tell me whatever he thinks I need to hear. And God will make sure he does. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. What's the promise? The inheritance. The inheritance. How much do you want? I want all of it. Esau didn't give a flip about it. And by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Cain, this witness of Cain, this witness of Abel is still speaking to me right now. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God does not impute any sin to me that would send me to hell, period. He doesn't impute any sin to me. And so I don't have to worry about any of that. And David said he would not impute any sin to me. And that's the promise he made to David, and that's the promise he made to the descendants of David, and that's in the 4th chapter of Romans. How would you like to have been under the old covenant? That's what I'm going to preach about to them up there. God having provided some better thing for us. When you first got saved, you went home rejoicing. But did you know what a better thing God had waiting for you in heaven? No, you didn't. You were just relieved of going to hell. God's Son fulfilled it. Christ incarnate in the Old Testament was God the Son in the New, and He fulfilled it for you. And you may not have understood all that, but you knew that when you went to Him, you believed He was alive, and you went home rejoicing. And 2 days later, you were wondering if you were lost. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. I know my Father. Know who He is. Know where He is. God Almighty, I just cannot believe how marvelous God is. I just cannot fathom it, and I never will. But in these last 5 days, He's taught me some things about myself that I've asked Him. I said, Lord, Lord, keep reminding me. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made teleos, should not be made perfect. They're going to be at the judgment seat, most of them. Well, maybe all of them. And I'm waiting for that judgment seat. I'm going to get my knocks. But boy, think if I'd gone to heaven after I came up here to be your pastor. Think of all, and I'd pastored for you for about 2 years and then run away at the first sign of trouble. And you know I wanted to run away. You remember the trouble. I wanted to run away. But I had learned enough about God to know, don't run away. Stay right there. Don't quit. That's what God teaches. And boy, have I been blessed by it, by staying here. And I've watched you change. I've watched all of you change. Not that I was judging you. Well, I guess I was. But I don't judge anymore. I just...